The title of today's lesson is that real freedom comes when the sun sets you free. In America today, those who are patriotic all over this country are gearing up for the 4th of July. And it's a time to remember and celebrate the liberty of this nation. And God's church should be a part of that. Because as goes the nation, goes the people. And we could be in a worse situation than we are in right now in this nation. Now, there's other nations of the world who are in bad spots. You know that, right? I don't live there. I don't intend to go vacation there. I don't even want to send a postage stamp there right now. But I do care about this nation and what happens to it. In America, all over, people are gearing up for it. And I want us to be careful not to take our religious liberty for granted. There's a lot of threats to it these days, all over. I'm not here to bash anybody, any president, anybody. But I know this, if righteousness is not exalting the nation, we are in a big problem. The White House today, to this week, will have huge celebration in honor of independence, just like they've done in past years. Though many of us are now not confident that what's going on behind the scenes may not be a threat to this country and to our independence. But that's for you to decide, and, you know, whatever you think about the matter is what you think anyway. But things are not right in this country. Do you agree with that? It's not right. There's a lot of wrong. John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail about Independence Day as far back as 1776. And what he had to say should ring loud and clear to everyone in this nation. Here's what he said. I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. The founding fathers had God in the middle of all of this stuff. We're serving and have been doing so in different platforms and whatnot, people who have no interest in God. I want my nation run by godly people. What about you? We need a change. And we need for those in power to turn themselves over to God. And in doing that, it would turn this nation back into what it became in the beginning. This nation's worth fighting for. And the people in this world look to us, some in laughter and some wishing they could just be here and live here. Like Adams, we need to love our country. We can do little with those in government. I can't send a letter to the White House and expect to get anything but something a secretary will write me, and I'm not going to talk to the right fella. We can't do much. It's out of our hands. Though they try to tell us that it's in our hands when we vote, well, we found out that voting didn't do well last time. There was all kind of confusion with that. Here's what I want. I want a God who is steady. I want to depend on the steadiness of God in all of this. It's my prayer, and I'm sure it is yours, that righteousness would cover this country and lift God back up as the ruler of our nation, as well as the nations of the world. There have been times when we could stand proud and be proud of our nation because it was a nation where people from all over the world wanted to live. When people want to live where you live, that says something. Do you know that? We look for God for our deliverance. And when Jesus comes, we will have that deliverance. We're not going to get it from the governments of this world. We're not going to get it from the goodness of fine people in the country, though that's a wonderful thing. We're going to get what we get in honoring God from God, and He's going to give it to us. And He's going to give us ways to mine the Scriptures and find those things in the Scriptures. In His deliverance, He saves those who's willing to join Him in covenant. And that covenant is the greatest thing you can possibly have outside of holding hands with Jesus Christ. Here's the good news for those who worry too much. You and I will live forever. It's not going to be over when you die, because God will raise you back up to life and you will stand again. It's not going to be any sin left there. You will be in a euphoric situation in the resurrection. If you worry about death and you're frightful of death, death is just a breath. Be more interested not in how long we live, but how we lived with Christ so that we can have that forever. That's our job. That's our desire. When we think about it, accepting Jesus Christ and His grace became our first true act of devotion to God. That's our first real act. The greatest news is that Jesus frees us from captivity. We put ourselves in captivity. I was talking to Al earlier, and I know I've probably told you this 1,000 times, but just be patient with me. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people in their last breaths. I've been right there watching them in their last moments, as many of you have. And it floors me how many times people will say, "Brother Preacher, you think I'll make it?" This is a person who's lived a whole life and asking a question like, "Brother Preacher, you think I'm going to make it?" Let me help you with this. If you're in covenant with Jesus Christ, He sets you free. And you are His and you will live forever. Just because you die, it's not over. Quit worrying about dying. Dying is not anything but a process. God will bring all of His people back to stand on this earth again. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 11. The Spirit of the Sovereign God, listen to the Scripture. Listen to God tell you about Himself and about you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the freedom of the captives, to release from darkness for their prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for display of splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew their ruined cities, and they've been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks and foreigners and will work your fields. That's for those who don't follow God, by the way. You'll be called priests to the Lord. You'll be named ministers of God. Does this sound like a faint few, or does it sound like God's people gets it all? What do you think? I'm going to tell you what, I've been on this for, 435 years I've been here. But I'm going to tell you, it's been my ambition the whole time I've been with you is to help you see who is watching out for you. If I can accomplish that in my life, I will feel blessed because I want you to see it. I don't want you getting down to those last moments and having to say, brother preacher, brother elder, can you come over here and you think I'm going to make it? I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to make it. The only thing that's going to cost you not to do it is if you walk away from the covenant. How many of you plan on walk away from the covenant? No takers? Don't worry about it. God's got you. Got you in His embrace. Real freedom comes when the Son sets you free. John 8:31-36, to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we'll be set free? Jesus replied, very verily I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs forever. So if the Son sets you free, help me with it. You shall be free indeed. Now, He's not making that up. He didn't put anything else on it. That sounds to me like if you're in that covenant, you are one He's talking to. You have no reason to fear. True freedom means that nothing on this earth masters us but Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:12, I have the right to do anything. But you say, not everything's beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I'll not be mastered by anyone. You say, food for the stomach, stomach for the food, God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And he's going through some stuff with the pagans there in that text. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He, watch it, He will raise us also. Did you notice the missing word might? He didn't say He might raise you. If God says He will raise you, will He do what He says? I want you to feel that. And grasp that. If we could get a hold of this nation and get the nation to embrace these same principles, our nation would flourish and everybody in the world would want to be here. Listen, I want you to know this. Paul was dealing with some stuff where there was a lot of adulterous stuff going on. That part of the world, it was pretty rough. And they were having some people going into illicit sexual situations. Here's the reason not to do that. This is in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Stop right there. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now let me ask you a question. If your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, where is the Holy Spirit in this thing? Do you realize that everywhere you step in this world, the Holy Spirit's with you? The Holy Spirit's not the Spirit over here that's located in some place. He's everywhere. Now, let me ask you this. Is the Father God? Is the Son God? Is the Holy Spirit God? Does that pretty much say to you that God goes everywhere you go? Is God holy? Are you? You've been made holy. You're not holy, but you was made holy. Who did that? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they live within you. Ooh, I love this. You can't outdo that. Keeping God's precepts help us walk correctly, or at least more correctly. Psalm 119, verse 45. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward the statutes and not toward selfish gain. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that we may be feared. There's a whole lot of text in the Psalms like that. We don't read a lot of that because that's Old Testament. And we're a New Testament church. I'm going to tell you what, you will never understand the New Testament if you don't get the Old Testament. We're called to freedom, to love and serve. Galatians 5:13, beginning, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled by keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the pleasures of the flesh. Listen to this, Galatians 5:1-6. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm. Do not let yourself be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value. Now what happened right here was there were people who could never really get hold to the idea that if God had saved them, they were really saved. So they felt like they had to do a whole lot more stuff. So you had some of these people who came into the embrace of Christ and they decided, I need to get circumcised. The males did. Now, that was required at some point in the Scripture. But in this passage, that's not so. I think I've told you this before, but when I was at White's Ferry Road, we saw a lot down there. And most of us that went to the school were green as a gourd, didn't know anything. And there was this one old boy, he must have been in the hardline church somewhere. About once every week or two, he got baptized again because he learned something else. If I got baptized every time I learned something else, I'd be a wet dude, and so would you. Let me tell you what. When Jesus makes things, he does not make junk. And if he makes it, he makes it where it works. And it will work from now till he says it don't work again. You and I are blessed among people because of what God has given us in this world and in this life. Christ sets us free from the power of sin and death. Those words are so easy to see. They're so easy to read. They're so easy to say. They're so easy to write down. They are difficult for people to believe. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. That's who you are. What a glorious day. You want to talk about freedom? There's your freedom. God gave you freedom. He set you free. Does God know that you mess up? You think he I don't see him turning the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? Before you were born, before the world was created, God already knew exactly what you would do. You're not surprising him with anything. I serve a God who's on my side, who said, hey, because of this covenant we made, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you. I said, where is he going to live? He said, where are you going to be? That's where he's going to be. What if I said over here? Well, he's right there. What about over here? Right there too. Do you know that God walks with you every day? Literally. He's where? In you. You want to talk about freedom that sets people free? You're free from condemnation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I didn't write the stuff. I just read it out of the book. And I know God don't lie. I'm happy to know that I'm free from death. The present suffering that we have, if you're suffering at all, I want to deal with this. I want you to hear this. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions to sonship and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope, for what we do not yet have, we wait for patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in the weakness. We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and He searches our hearts and knows our mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose, who for those who foreknew Him, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among the brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He has justified. And those He justified, He glorified. You know what God calls you right now? You're more than conquerors. If God is for us, who's big enough to fight Him? Who's big enough to beat God? Satan? What you are is one that God will tell you. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Has God chosen you? Who can bring a charge against you and make it stick? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Not one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. In all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, or angels or demons, neither the present or the future, or any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know what else to say, but I can tell you this. We just got a big picture of how much God is willing to do to keep you in His embrace. When we're not even worthy of it, but in His work, He made us worthy. How can you not be excited about that? Now, that didn't do much for the 4th of July, but it'll make me whistle more tomorrow and the next day maybe. This nation can come out of its mess, but it won't be done by politics, and it won't be done by I wish. It'll be done by righteousness invading a nation. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our great nation. We thank You for those who gave so much over the years, those who spilt their blood and gave their lives for our freedom in the nation. We thank You for all that You cleared up and moved out of the way so You could work and work inside of us and give us that what we needed when we weren't worthy of having any of it. We thank You for Your love and Your mercy. We thank You that You care for us. And we thank You for the promises we have, though we often don't feel that we should be counted among the righteous. But we know You, O God, and You will be there. Thank You for Your love. In Christ's name, amen.